Hi everyone, this is Leslyn Keith, President of the Board of Directors at Lipedema Project and Director of Research. Welcome to Living Well with Lipedema. Today I have an excerpt from an interview with Amber O'Hearn from our Lipedema and Keto Worldwide Summit that was held in 2019. Amber O'Hearn is an eclectic. She has a very eclectic background with academic publications in several fields, including theoretical mathematics, cognitive psychology, computational linguistics, and more recently, evolutionary nutrition and biology. She has been studying and experimenting with low-carb ketogenic diets since 1997 and is particularly interested in evolutionary constraints and interspecies differences. Amber has been eating a nearly plant-free diet since 2009. In this excerpt, Amber talks about her journey from being a vegetarian to eating a carnivore diet. She also talks about how humans evolved to eat meat and animal-sourced foods.
I'd been struggling with weight and mood disorder problems for quite a while, and I kept thinking, just because of my upbringing and all the things that I read about on kind of general mainstream health places, that what I should do is just continue to be more and more plant-based if I wanted to improve my health and if I wanted to have positive benefits for weight. And when I went to Russia, it was part of a study program. I was studying Russian at the time. I had actually taken the further step of being on a vegan diet, and it was just so impossible to maintain there. I mean, I probably could have if I felt strongly ethically about it, but since I was doing it for my health and there were trade-offs with, you know, trying to immerse myself in the culture, I felt like at a certain point it would just make more sense to eat what my hosts were providing for me and to return to my health challenges and journey when I got home. But when I got home, I realized that I had actually lost weight while I was there. And even though it may not specifically have been because I reintroduced meat into my diet, it certainly made me think that being more plant-based couldn't be the only factor. What happened next for me was that I remembered having heard about a low-carb diet, which I had immediately dismissed upon hearing it because it just sounded so opposite to everything that I knew to be true. But I thought maybe I should just look at it again. And there was a great coincidence for me was that it was right at that time that the Eads released their book Protein Power. And so I read that and really delved into the science of it. I had never heard anything like it, and it was very compelling and all well referenced. And so I immediately tried a low carb diet, and it resolved all of my weight issues at that time. But I certainly was still eating plenty of plants. They were just the low carb ones. And it took a much, much longer time. It was another 12 years before I decided to try going low or no plant. And when I tried that, it was because I had suffered progressive regain over the course of those 12 years. And I was really starting to feel like I didn't know what was going on. All the science that I had read about low-carb diets, I still thought was correct. So I didn't know what my issue was. And honestly, I'm still trying to figure out what the actual mechanistic connection is. But I did at that time come across some people who were doing an all-meat diet. And I thought, well, maybe I could try that for a short time. It never occurred to me or crossed my mind that I would give up plants for any kind of long-term situation, because I felt that they were at the very least benign, if not an important part of the human diet. And all that changed when I had such an incredible response to removing plants from my diet, because not only did the weight just start dropping off ridiculously fast, but my adult-long mood disorder went into complete remission. So that was very significant. And it was only then that I started thinking, well, wait a minute, don't I need to have these plants in my diet? And is this going to be a problem? And that's when I started really diving deeper into that. There is so much nutrition that we really evolved to depend on in animal-sourced foods that it's really surprising, because Right now, the zeitgeist really tells us that animal foods are the problem. They're causing all of the epidemics of Western diseases. And when you start to dig into that deeper, it just makes no sense from a biological level, because we've always eaten meat. And not only that, but the nutrients that we get from it are ones that we know that we need, especially to develop our brains. And since brains are the location, presumably, of your thinking, it stands to reason that if you're having psychiatric issues, brain health would be a first place to look. One of the things that was most compelling to me when I started looking into it in terms of meat being healthy was the connection between the brain and the gut in human evolution. So one thing that makes us different just right now, if you look at other apes, is that our whole gastrointestinal system looks very different from theirs. They have huge colons, which they use to ferment fiber. They actually ferment it into fat. So the great irony is that even in herbivore diet, most of the calories are actually coming from fat. There's just a step in between where you have microbes in your gut that take fiber, which no vertebrate can actually digest, and they digest it, and the output of their digestion is short-chain fatty acids. So other great apes still retain a great deal of this ability, but our colons are much, much, much shorter than any of the other great apes. And we have only a very limited capacity to turn fiber into fat. And that means that as this was happening over the course of our evolution, we must have been able to get calories some very different way, since we weren't able to get them mostly from fiber. So the alternatives really are getting fat directly and getting carbohydrates from, say, tubers or fruit. But because of the environment that we presumably were evolving in, we didn't have access to cooking during this time. The tubers that would contain all this starch were not really edible in the way that you imagine like a potato or a carrot. They were much more woody and starchy, not really a great source of calories, and they certainly wouldn't have been able to sustain us. So most anthropologists believe that the way that we were getting our calories was directly from animal fat. Specifically, we may have started as scavengers, getting the fat out of marrow and out of skulls that were left from other carnivores, and then eventually doing our own hunting. In addition to that, at the same time as our guts were shrinking, our brains were enormously expanding, like three times expansion. And in order to do that, not only did we need all this extra energy that would have come from that fat, but there are nutrient requirements that we know that we need to develop a brain. And they're very, very hard to get just from plant sources alone if you have the size of brain that we're talking about. But animal-sourced foods cover those nutrient needs very easily.
Thank you, Amber. That was fascinating, and I enjoy it every time I listen to it then. Back from 2019. I'm so glad that you participated in our summit. And thank you to you, all of our listeners. If you haven't already subscribed to our daily flash briefings of tips, tools, and research about lipedema, you can subscribe at Apple, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, or here at this website, lipedema-simplified.org/flash, where you'll find an archive of all of our flash briefings. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another Living Well with Lipedema Flash Briefing.